Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, yesterday, Wade is in, 12-year NFL vet, he's in. Clint is out today, but the big story yesterday was the NFL putting, as we call it, their chess move with the players and saying, hey, players that that are not vaccinated, you still have the choice to play, but the consequences of your actions, if you do cause a potential outbreak, could be forfeiting games and costing not only your team their paycheck for that game if it is forfeited, but the other team that's playing their checks as well. They've laid those consequences down to players who potentially could cause outbreaks that are not vaccinated. If you are vaccinated, you do not have those consequences to you if you cause an outbreak. That was yesterday. A lot of players have responded to it, and now it even got real to another step, Wade, because Vikings assistant coach Rick Dennison has reportedly lost his job because he has refused to get COVID-19 vaccine. And the coaches and other support staff are different from the players. It is mandated for them to be vaccinated in order to participate in coaching or whatever it is they do. But he has reportedly lost his job. And this may be the first of potential more, Wade, if guys are really sticking to their guns.
Yeah, and Adam Schefter just put this out 6 minutes ago that there's another, I'll read the tweet verbatim, Patriots co-offensive line coach Cole Popovich won't be with the team in 2021 in a decision related to the COVID-19 vaccine and NFL guidelines, according to @MikeReese. So there's another coach that's basically saying, I'm not going to take the vaccine. I don't believe in it. And so I'm willing to put my job on the line in order to do so. And that's what
it's
you're
your
seeing.
Choice.
It's
yeah.
That's a choice. And it's a messed up choice. It's a tough choice. It's a messed up choice. I call it a messed up choice because if you don't believe in the vaccine, then it's not much of a choice. But at the same time, the NFL has shown from the jump that if you affect the bottom line, they will move on from you, period. And it could be Colin Kaepernick. It could be this vaccine stuff. It can be whatever it is. If you're going to affect the bottom line, we're not going to deal with you. And so this is just an example right here where you're having coaches, and it won't just be coaches. There will be some players that mysteriously get released or whatever it may be because you're affecting the bottom line. Teams, when they put in a policy that if your team forfeits a game, you're going to have to pay for all revenues lost to the other franchise that you forfeit the game to, that's a game changer. You're telling me that could be potentially millions of dollars that you're sending to another franchise to make them whole because you missed the game and you missed that revenue. And then you're taking checks out of players' pockets. It is like I said, the king state of kings. I call it a genius move because it's like an evil genius. It's like, hey, we're going to make sure that you do things the way we want you to do it because you're not going to cost us money in the long run. And people, there's going to be people that say it's the right thing to do because you should get the vaccine anyway. And that's a lot of people that feel that way. And there's other people that say, no, that's BS. I don't believe in a vaccine. It should be my choice. But when you're working for a private industry,
yes,
a private business entity, you have to fall under those rules. And that's when you look at coaches, you look at front office guys, all that type of stuff, that's strictly a corporate environment. It's not like players, where players are the celebrity entertainers.
Is why they have different guidelines?
Because we've
talked about it. I've said it. The players, they have a choice.
The players have a choice.
Consequences to your choice, that potential consequences, but you have, they're not given a choice. They have to.
No, the employees are not given a choice because, like I said, it's just like any other corporate entity, corporate structure. If you work for a corporation and they set up a certain set of rules, you abide by them or you go somewhere else. That's just the bottom line of it. Now, when you're talking about players, it's different the way players are handled. There's a lot of similarities, but they handle them differently because they're looked at as entertainers, as celebrities, or as artists. And artists, the rules that artists deal under and the rules that corporate figures and employees deal under are different. Right, wrong, and different. That's just the way it is. And so those lawsuits, what they worry about coming, could potentially come if it was mandated that you, like what you gave, the example you gave earlier, hey, I wouldn't be mad if they mandated it in order to play.
No, I wouldn't.
You got to get the vaccine. To me, when that happens, that's when you see those lawsuits come. Okay. And when you have.
And it's why they're not doing it.
And that's why they're not doing it to the players, because the players have that leverage of the amount of money that they could put into fighting these lawsuits, and they have enough of their war chest to do it. If you're an employee of whatever team it is, you don't have that. And so unless everybody binded together and said, hey, we're going to do this to protect ourselves from this type of situation, that's the only way that the NFL would have a problem. But the problem with that is there's so many people that do believe you should get the vaccine, you're not going to get the numbers you would need in order for it to affect the NFL in such a negative way for them to pay attention to it and change the way they want to go about it. And that's why it's genius, because from a business perspective only, that's going to basically guarantee they get what they want out of the situation. Players are not going to fight this in a manner that would be such a significant way that it would affect the NFL's bottom line.
Big 3-3, number 2.
All right, the other big story in sports, Wade, continues to have movement seemingly every day since it came out. Kirk Bull of the Austin American-Statesman issued this, that the Texas and OU move to the SEC is almost done. They've been working on this for a minimum of 6 months, and the A&M leadership was left out of discussions and wasn't told about it. The move could become official in a week. That according to Kirk Bull, which is, wow, that is a bit surprising that A&M potentially wasn't involved in some of the discussions and didn't know, their leadership didn't know that the SEC was serious in talking to Texas and Oklahoma. This even more, as a report, makes it feel like this is going to happen. And apparently soon, according to Kirk Bull.
It's going to happen. I'm excited for it to happen. The idea of watching Texas A&M playing Texas on Thanksgiving again was something that I grew up with, that was an every year thing that you look forward to. If you grew up in the state of Texas, you were always excited for that game. You could be pulling for the Aggies. You could be pulling for the Longhorns. You could be pulling for neither one, just want to watch a great game, because it was always tooth and nail. It was always, you know, one of those great rivalries in college football. And now it's been gone for I don't know how long now. It's been a while since that's taken place. Now it's coming back. And SEC in itself, when you think about the potential matchups of Texas playing Alabama on a yearly basis.
Potentially.
You know, OU potentially playing Georgia. LSU every year. Like, can you think about that? OU, LSU every year. Like, these are matchups that you only get maybe in a college football playoff on a random occurrence in a Cotton Bowl or something like that, because both teams didn't make it to the national championship.
You don't miss a little bit of that? You don't miss the, you know, all the conferences? There's a bit of me, and probably because I grew up in Big 12 country, there's a bit of me that misses, like, all right, Nebraska and Oklahoma and Texas and all those schools in the Big 12. And then there's other conferences, and then we kind of see matchups at the end of the year and every – like, I do kind of miss that part of it as opposed to just, all right, we're going to lump everybody in here in one way. And maybe A&M, hell, they may not see Georgia for 3 or 4 years, even though they're in the same group, but they may not see them. Like, I don't know. There's something about those – I don't know quite how I feel about these four 16 teams conferences, which where we're headed to.
But see, I like the idea of teams playing each other during the regular season, because the only difference is when you get to the college football playoff. Now there's not going to be as many undefeated teams. You know, that's the only going to be on the difference. But you're still going to have the same quality of teams coming out from this murder's row of schedule that they're probably going to have to go through based off of who's in your conference now. So to me, you're still going to get the same quality at the end. It just means that during the season, you're going to have better games, more rivalries. You're going to create rivalries. I'm all for it.
Yeah,
I'm all for it. I'm really looking forward to that. Like I said, I can remember vividly getting ready for a playoff game my senior year, watching Ricky Williams break the rushing record against that win in Texas A&M. Like, those type of games you'll never forget. And they've been gone for the longest. They're going to come back. And so I'm really excited about that.
So, yeah, we'll see that OU-Texas, that is going to go down.
Big 3-3, number 3.
And real quick, this was starting to drop yesterday at the end of our show, former Houston Texans coach and a guy I know that you were familiar with, Greg Knapp, he passed away. He was in a bike accident, and now he was currently an offensive assistant for the New York Jets, but he was in a bike accident and passed away from those injuries. He was hit by a driver, and I know that was something that touched you. You had a relationship with Greg Knapp, but he passed away yesterday at 58 years old.
Yeah, gone way too soon, riding a bicycle. You know, there's a lot of cyclists out there that have to deal with, you know, watching out for cars and having to deal with bicycle injuries because cars might not be paying attention, not sharing the road, whatever they may be. But for him to pass away just riding around his neighborhood and no longer here, it's very sad. It's very unfortunate. Father, husband, father three. He was a great coach, a great guy, did things the right way. I don't know anybody that had a bad word to say about him, but he was really good at his job. He knew what he was talking about, very relatable to everybody. Was here 2010 and 2011 with the Texans, and he's definitely going to be missed.
Yeah. Prayers out to Greg Knapp and his family. You said he has three daughters that he leaves behind and a wife. Really, really sad situation in the NFL. Lost, as you said, a really good guy.
A damn good coach. He wasn't just a good guy. Like, he was a damn good coach. He was good at his craft, very relatable with the players, and that's all players. And I've never met a guy that did not like Knapper as a coach. You know, he was here in 2011 with that franchise when we finally got over the hump and won the division championship. He was the guy that was coaching up T.J. Yates, rookie that took us to that point. And so there's a lot of guys around the league right now that are hurting, that were positively affected by Greg Knapp, and so he's no longer with us.
All right, coming up, I know many of you don't like as me as the resident heel on this show and on this station, hear a lot of what I have to say, but I have some serious advice that I think all Texans fans need to listen to. That's coming up next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
The General John McClain coming up at 4 o'clock. He's going to be in studio.
Brian, let me stop you right there.
No, you won't. tell you that right now, damn it. You're not stopping me. I hope you're listening on the way on the drive in here.
Well, sorry.
You better. Ain't seen McClain in a little bit, so he'll be in with us.
I want to hear how McClain is dealing with this whole Texas and OU deal. He's a Baylor guy through and through. This puts them in a precarious situation, no question about it.
They got Mount West written all over them there, don't they?
You better hope for Big Ten, man.
That's not happening. Better hope for the Pac-12. That's where they better hope for. Remember Camp Casario coming up Wednesday. They get on the field. They report the 27th Wednesday. They get on the field the 28th. And I have some advice, fellas, for some of the Houston Texans fans.
Are you somebody that we should take advice from?
You're damn right.
Okay. I want to clear that up.
I call it the bus.
I like to ask the questions. I don't mind any kind of answer, but I just want to ask that question.
Are you somebody we should listen to?
Yes, I called the Bucs in 6 when everyone was against me.
Okay. That's a good call. Right. You've been wrong about a lot of other things, but that's a good call.
What are we doing here? You just
it's me. It's you and recent, I talking.
I gave you recent examples, right? and now you try to throw things. Yes, I was wrong about David Johnson. I'm sorry.
Yes.
Game changing.
You're wrong about the Baltimore Ravens.
Ravens, yes, and I paid up. Okay.
Kinda. Yeah.
Oh my goodness!
Felt real bad when I saw that bottle of white Hennessy in my.
Oh, that's what he meant.
My father.
That's what he meant.
I said, "Where'd you get this?" He said, "Mexico."
Yeah.
But no. Here is my advice that I am, well mannered to give. All of you all out there who have the opportunity to have season tickets and financially can swing it, and I've heard a lot of people say, I'm out on season tickets. I've heard Larry and Stafford threaten to be out. I don't think he's going to be out. I think he's just giving his tickets, this year.
I think he's just going to tailgate. That's what last time I talked to Larry on air, he said he's going to go tailgate and then leave.
Go home. But I think I think he should auction them off all 9 weeks. But I think he's keeping them. But many people, because we hear people say they've climbed up in a major way on the waiting list. Mm-hmm. And then one of our loyal listeners, Tony, she climbed so high where she was able to get those tickets. And I would just say, hey, man, be careful with the decision you make. If you are one out there, and I'd like to hear from you, 713-572-4610. If you've had season tickets and you've given them away, and you've exited that out, taken that off you, I'd like to hear from you. I'm just telling you, things change so quickly in the National Football League, probably unlike any other sport, that if you have a chance to get those season tickets or you have them and you're debating on relinquishing those, my advice would be hold your horses. Fight through this tough time potentially because it can happen quick. It can happen in terms like next year you find the quarterback again that you just had, but you find the quarterback that changes your way of doing business. Or maybe, and this one's really tough for some people to hear, but maybe David Culley is the next coach that can change the direction of a franchise. You just don't know. Now, I'm not sure I believe that one, but the quarterback one can happen. We've seen that happen a lot. I'm just saying, in 2 years, you can look up and think, oh, my God, I've given away these tickets, and we don't suck ass. And look, Nick Casario's got this thing moving in the right direction. This is, I see something. Because I could tell you from example, this is probably a few years after you left Kansas City. In 2012, the Kansas City Chiefs had fans flying banners repeatedly at the end of the last part of the season over the stadium saying, walk out. Flying fire Scott Pioli, their GM. They had a 2-14 record. Oddly enough, Romeo Crennel was their interim head coach because they thought well to hire Todd Haley, who I know you played for.
Yes.
Who tried to end Port Arthur's own Jamal Charles' career before it even started. They fired him. Romeo took over and took him to 2-14. They then had a player kill his girlfriend and then kill himself at the stadium in front of the coaches in front office. number one pick in the next year's draft, the best quarterback available was Geno Smith. This is where they were. And then over the next 3 years, they added Andy Reid, Travis Kelce, Tyreek Hill, Chris Jones, and Patrick Mahomes. And that quick it changed. The Dolphins, they've been on a three-year run. It stunk, stunk, stunk. Bam. They win 10 games last year. The Browns have stunk forever. Okay, the Browns is a bad example. But they draft Baker, and in 3 years, they're in the playoffs beating the Steelers. I'm just saying, you know, you have more experience than I have at this. You played in the game for 12 years. It can turn on a dime. So if you have an opportunity, and I'm not telling you to break your neck if financially things have happened and you can't swing that. That I understand it. But if you can, hold on. Just hold on through these years because most of the times you're not the Browns or the Lions. It turns quickly.
I'm glad you put it that way when you said that, you know, if financially, if it's something that's going to cause any type of strain on you, don't force yourself to do it because you're trying to talk about the possibilities of how quickly you can turn around. Because I think when you talk about other people's money, it, you know, especially with what's going on with COVID, there's a lot of people that are not in the, financially in the same positions that they were, you know, a year ago, 2 years ago. But I will say this, man. Those situations and how those Kansas City Chiefs team got to where it was and how, you know, the Miami Dolphins, the, you know, just various teams that struggled and then figured a way to get out of their struggles. It was a more conventional way that they got there. So any fans that feel some type of way and they want to make their voices heard with not renewing their season tickets, I understand it. I completely understand it. At the same time, this is the NFL. And the NFL is not for long. And usually not for long has to do with being bad or good. There's only a handful of franchises that are always good, and there's only a small handful of franchises that are always bad. And then everybody else pretty much is they're pretty good, and then they're pretty bad, and they're pretty good, and they're pretty bad. And they go up and down from that kind of level. And maybe every now and again they might jump up to being really damn good, and then maybe they have a year they're really damn bad. But – you know, to expect the Texans to be bad for the next 3-4 years, I don't think it's realistic. I mean, it's just really not, because more times than not in the NFL, teams figure out a way to get out of being a struggling franchise. And, you know, the Texans last year, they were bad, but the year before that, they were pretty good. And the year before that, they were pretty good. And so there's been more pretty good over the past 10 years or so than there has been pretty bad or terrible. And so from that regard, I can kind of see where you're coming from. But I just look at it like this, man. There's a lot of fans out there that are fed up with what's going on over there, and they're going to make their voices heard. And they're just for that fact alone, they're not going to be concerned about the idea of, man, because I left at this time during the lean times, when it gets to the happy times again and the team gets good, I'm going to miss out on my season tickets. They're taking a stand. There's a lot of people taking stands these days. And it's understandable. I'm of the mindset of hey, you know, I think Nick Caserio knows what he's doing. And so from that regard, the chances of the team being really bad for an extended period of time, I just don't think is realistic. So based off of that information, I think you say, hey, you know, holding on to those tickets right now, if you have the ability to hold on to them, it's a good idea, because the chances are the team is not going to be terrible for multiple years in a row, and they could come back eventually. They could. Anything's possible.
And you're going to be kicking yourself. Greg, I'm going to let you jump in on this. Go ahead, Greg. What's your thoughts? Did you give up your season tickets?
I did. Wade, it's good to have you on, man. You need your own show. I love listening to you. I gave them up. I got season tickets in 2006. I went to every single home game for years and years and years. Tailgate, the whole nine yards. So much fun. And you know, you're making the point about the team being bad and being good. Well, I really didn't care. It was great when they were really good. It sucked when they were really bad, and I went in spite of all of that. I went to support the team, to support the owner, to support the city. And when Bob McNair died and gave that team to Cal McNair, this really isn't about Jack Easterby. I mean, he's a disaster on his own. But he was allowed to do those things, and he was allowed to make decisions that he should have never been making, Bill O'Brien included. And I blame Cal for being nothing but lazy. This is just him being lazy, and not wanting to take responsibility and control of his team and letting those guys run off really, really good people that made the Houston Texans a great organization. And as long as he's in charge, those things are never going to change. Are they going to be good again? Yes, they will. Are they going to have good people in the front office? Maybe. I don't know what they're going to do with Jack Easterby, but they need to get rid of him. But regardless of that, he's always going to be the owner. And as long as he's the owner, and as long as he's lazy and entitled and is not going to take control and treat that team the way Bob McNair treated it, he gave his heart and soul and put this – he put this whole thing on a silver platter for him. If you could not have asked to have a better franchise
land the plane,
laid
Greg.
In your lap.
Land the plane,
and,
baby.
And taking the, I can't hear you. I'm sorry.
I said, well, we got to get about here. Land the plane, Greg. I got your sentiment. And listen, I hear what you're saying. But are you done, though? You're still going to be a fan. We could pick this up. 713-572-4610. I want to hear from those who have given up your season tickets because I'm trying to help you. You're going to regret this. You are going to regret this because when they get good again, you're going to kick yourself for doing this, and they will get good again. We'll discuss that next.
Stop being a dumpster fire.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show.
Are they getting mad at me on the phones, Tyler?
I don't know,
they're
man.
They're passionate on the phone?
They sound pretty fiery.
Well, that's fine. I want to hear it. And I'm sorry, my man Greg. You just wasn't landing that plane, oh man. We were up against it, and I appreciate your call, man. And I like hearing your insight. And I understand if you're just jumping in. Clint's out today. Wade Smith, former Pro Bowler, former Houston Texan, is in. Tyler is doing the best he can, guys. So don't get mad at him.
Ticket show.
Okay, but. What we're just talking about is I'm throwing out some advice, man. I've seen how fast the NFL can change, right? And I brought up the example of a place that I know where I lived, or at least somebody I know lived, and team went 2-14, worst record, no quarterback in sight. The year before they went 2-14, Andrew Luck was the quarterback drafted. The next year it was Geno Smith. So they're 2-14. They had a player commit suicide in the parking lot of the stadium. They had banners being flown across the stadium. The hatred for the fan base was strong at that point. And then the next year, they went 11-5. And then Patrick Mahomes was there within two more years. So it can turn quick. And your guy, the person – this can be a fan favorite, but can turn quickly in the NFL, and Wade expressed it. He's seen it. The NFL is a not for long, and that doesn't mean just your ass won't be here for a long time, but generally teams outside of the Browns and Lions aren't just awful for years and years and years. And I'm saying to those who have had opportunities to either keep their season tickets or opportunities to purchase season tickets, and you've decided not to, my advice would be pump the brakes. Take a deep breath through this lean time because it's generally not going to last a long time, and it can turn that fast, and you're going to be potentially kicking yourself when this team turns around and you've given up these have been – I mean, people have been – since I've been here, tell me they've been on wait lists for years, for 18 years. For a long time, you're going to kick yourself and regret it. Now, Wade, you do bring up a point where I think you speak for some fans, and we'll listen to some 713-572-4610 as a reason why this potentially is different than other places that struggled and then had quick turnaround.
Yeah, the way that the franchise got here and the decisions that were made to put the position the franchise in the position that it's in is different than the different examples that you gave, talking about the Chiefs and the Dolphins and various franchises. There were conventional decisions that were made that eventually did not work out, and that's normal operating procedure. And then, you know, they were struggling franchises, is what it is type of situation. Here in Houston, the fans, there's a lot of fans that feel like, and with just reason to feel that way, that there was a lot of unconventional things done here, that people were standing on top of tables and rooftops shouting, don't do this, or why are we doing this, before decisions were made, after decisions were made, and those decisions led us to where the Texans are now. And so I completely understand when a fan says, you look at the text line, a fan says, me not renewing my season tickets or me not purchasing them is a way of me voicing my displeasure with the organization and let them know, like, hey, I'm going to protest with my pocket. And that's a legitimate thought process. That's a legitimate way of going about doing it. It's really the only way that you can show your distaste is by doing that. Like you said, show, I completely understand the sentiment, because I've seen it time and time again, is that although the franchise went 2-14 last year, the chances of the franchise being bad for a significant period of time is just very low. The NFL is not for long. The NFL is very cyclical. There will be teams that are bad now that will be very good very quickly, and vice versa. And so if you can get past that part, if you can get past the part of how we got here and who's making the decisions and what decisions were made, if you can get past that part, then that's when your advice comes into play, show, where you say, hey, you might want to go ahead and stick around, because eventually things will change for the better. Like, the chances of things getting better versus the chances of things staying the same and continuing to be, you know, 2-14, poor franchise, that the way that things are looked at the Houston Texans right now, the chances of that are just way lower. The chances are that the Texans are going to be a good team. So just like Greg mentioned in his call, like, he expects the team to be good in the future, but at the same time, he's not willing to spend money with the franchise because of how we got here.
I get that. Brian, I'll let you jump in. Go ahead, Brian. Have you given up your season tickets?
I have. Oh. I've given up 6 that I had for my business and 4 that I had personally. And, you know, I think we got 3 full things going on with the Texans. One, yes, Cal McNair maybe not quite up to the task of being the man in charge of making the last decision for the Texans. I think so. Did he make a mistake letting Bill O'Brien have too much control and his ego got out of control and we started cutting Pro Bowl players? I mean, goodness gracious, who does that in their right mind and trading DeAndre Hopkins? I mean, come on. But the other thing behind this, and I think that the NFL and the Texans are caught by 2 things. One, incompetence in the front office. We all agree that there's has been that going on. Is it getting better? Let's hope so. But the other thing is the NFL has gotten political. And, gentlemen, Wade, I love you. Your insight's phenomenal. You too, the show. But we used to go to sports to escape politics, and we're letting politics into our sports. And Texas is a staunch Republican state, and people are fed up with the games going on by the NFL as a whole.
So that's a part of why you've given up your season tickets, Brian?
That's probably a bigger part than the other incompetence. You know, ebb and flow. I had season tickets. I've been to every game from the beginning, since 1910. Wade, I saw every game you played in a Texans uniform. You know, there was a lot of not so good years in there in the beginning, but yet we still went. My daughter is a sportsman. She wanted highly intelligent girl, but because we went to Texas games, she loves watching professional sports. And that's her dream job, is someday to work for a football team or a baseball team because of the entertainment that we're given through sports.
All right. Appreciate the call, Brian. And from what I hear from you, Brian, if it's more than just incompetence, and you said it leans towards how you believe the NFL and the league as a whole has moved in a direction political that you don't like, well, that's a different thing. And that's more than just, like, you're upset with the game as a whole in that space.
I think it all plays into it, though. I think there's multiple factors in why you're seeing the numbers being what they are. And
I'm just saying, from him, he said it was more than even how bad the organization was. He said that part was more. So I was like, that to me is different.
Yeah, like everybody has different reasons of why that they're saying they want to step away from the sport. For every person that says, I'm not going to be part of the NFL anymore because of the way they handle things politically, there's going to be somebody to step in their place because this country is split in half when it comes to that, pretty much. Yep. So that kind of just is what it is. And the NFL understands that as far as their business model. But as far as fans saying, hey, I don't want to be a part of this because I don't believe in the front office, the front office is going to have to make decisions going forward to change that sentiment. Because right now there was a bunch of decisions that were made that got to this point to where there's not much trust in what's going to go on over there. And so it's a wait and see. I would think that, you know, 5 years from now, what was the college name? It wasn't Greg.
Brian.
I would think 5 years from now, you know, Brian, if things do change as far as the decisions that are being made by the front office and the higher ups in the organization, I would think that Brian and fans like Brian might come around. Now, if it's something to where, like he said, that political side of it is such a big factor to them that he's not going to participate, then that's something that you can't change. Like, you can't change someone's
belief. That's what
I'm
saying. That's
part of it is what it is.
Yeah, that's a different. David, I'll let you you finish this off. Go ahead, David, if I can get you on. Go ahead, David.
Let me first say this. Human rights is not politics. It shouldn't be. So that I just want to get that out there. But I kind of agree with you guys. When this started happening and people started giving away their tickets, I was a season ticket holder for 5 years. And I gave my tickets away probably 7 years ago, and I've been to every game, you know, before that. And I remember I couldn't even give those things away. I asked my buddies to go with me, my girlfriends to go with me, my wife to go with me, and nobody wanted to go when they were bad, and it was great when they were good. But the thing is, if you can get in, you can treat it like a stock. If you can get in and get some tickets right now that are cheap and get 4 or 6 tickets,
so I'm saying,
when they do turn around, I'd sell those things or I'd go to the game. You got yourself some season tickets for a low price. And I was thinking that the other day. Hey, why don't I go buy some tickets just for financial reasons so when they do turn good, and you can sell the tickets online and get your money back and even more.
All right.
So I think it is a good time to buy some tickets.
Appreciate the call, David. This is what I'm saying. I've seen this on the text line. Oh, here goes Show. He works for the Texans. Okay. Listen, I'm going to speak my mind and speak honestly whatever I feel. Okay. And I'm just saying right now, I've seen that a lot of people, I'm passing on season tickets and people are climbing up the season ticket list and have this ability. And I'm just simply saying, like, just this could be a regret. This could be a major regret for you, because I don't think you're giving up as a fan. I think the bulk of you who are texting in, taking your time out to text in this radio station and call in, are not giving up as fans. And you're going to be right there and you'll be like, damn. As my man Brian, I had 10 tickets.
Yeah. Gave them up.
And now all of a sudden, they done just brought this quarterback that's the savior. God, you just had that. But they just brought this quarterback in, another one that's a savior. It's changing this thing around. I just can't even say the David Culley one with a straight face.
Yeah, the ability for you to put that out there that way.
I really tried.
As much,
I don't believe it.
Especially with the things that you've said over the past, you know, few months since he's been here. I had to take a step back.
Who knows?
Wait a minute, what's going on?
I'm just saying, you just don't know.
Is this show talking about?
Yeah, who knows? I'm just saying, you don't know. Clint Sterner and the Show here with you. Wade in for Clint. I'm Ron, the Show. Appreciate you jumping in with us. John McClain coming up here at 4:00, so make sure you're locked in and loaded for this. You said that that you feel like you have a feeling where Deshaun Watson, what he's going to look like, what uniform he potentially is going to be wearing the next time he plays football. It's not a Houston Texan one. Where are you seeing that he potentially may go?
Well, this is not a me thing. This is me seeing an article that was written by a Philadelphia Eagle beat writer saying that it's a 90% possibility that when Deshaun Watson gets traded, he's going to be traded to the Philadelphia Eagles. Howard Erskine, who was with the Eagles back when I was with the Eagles a long time ago, and was probably with the Eagles probably 20, 30 years before that, he's been around the block, very similar, I guess you could say, to John McClain as far as tenure with an organization or covering an organization. And he put it out there that, hey, Deshaun Watson, when he gets traded, 90% possibility based off of all the things that he's researched, looked into, talked to people he's talked to throughout the league, his various sources, that he's going to end up in Philly. And my question to you is, how does that sizzle in your spirit? Like, how do you feel about that, Deshaun Watson getting traded to Philadelphia Eagles and that being a trade partner and what potentially could come back to the Texans and kind of speed up this healing process that it seems like this franchise needs to go to?
Well, it is the best scenario for the Texans, because what you want to do is, all right, we at least want the person who has the most assets involved, because that means they can drive up the price, even if that's who we don't do business with. But you want them involved. As I've said before, the worst nightmare for the Texans and Texans fans should be that Jalen Hurts does something to make them believe that they don't need to be in the market.
That they got their guy.
If he goes Dak Prescott and mm-hmm. they say, oh boy, this is better than us trading two or three first round picks we can help build around. That's the biggest nightmare for Texans fans. But you want them in it. And for the Texans' sake, yes, they've got the best thing that could come back because they got young players, or they have, more importantly, draft picks. And especially if Carson Wentz plays 70% of his snaps with the Colts, they'll have three first-round picks just in this year's draft.
Yeah.
So you want that, and that would look, because there's so much that you could bring back. And for Deshaun, that's just interesting in the league. That is the most, I think, talked about division in the NFL, and him, Dak, in the same division, that would be an interesting space in his regard too.
Yeah, I look at it like this from the Eagles' perspective. They've shown in the history of their franchise that they're not afraid of bringing in a controversial quarterback gone through some things. Like Michael Vick came there, and they absolutely loved Michael Vick as a quarterback when he was there. The Philly fans really, really, and they dealt with their PR hit that they had to take early on. Because of the dog fighting, when he brought him to the roster, they dealt with it. But eventually, he became a starter, and he started for multiple seasons there. And the Philly fans really loved Michael Vick. I could see a similar scenario happening with Deshaun Watson. It would last a lot longer because Michael Vick, when he came there, he was, I don't know, 32, something like that. He was getting up there in age by the time he had made it to Philly. Deshaun is, what, 25, 26 or something like that right now? He hasn't even hit the prime of his career. And so he's going to be good once he eventually gets back to playing. He's going to be good for a long time. It makes a lot of sense from the Eagles' perspective, and they've shown that they're willing to take that hit PR-wise that you might take and bringing in a guy that with a situation surrounding him like Deshaun Watson. So it makes a lot of sense logically. It would be a perfect trade partner for the Texans because, like we mentioned, they have multiple first-round draft picks in this year's draft. Of course, they have first-round draft picks in future drafts as well that could be included in a potential trade. But like you said, it needs to be done now if you're going to mitigate the risk of Jalen Hurts, Channel View Zone, going out there and playing at a high level.
I don't trust him
to
be Sam Darnold, to where, all right, we know we got to make a move at quarterback.
Right. You think he's going to play well enough to where they would make them say, maybe
I think it's a certain possibility.
Yeah.
And I understand how well he'd have to play.
Yeah, he's going to have to improve as a quarterback, but he's been good wherever he's been.
He's a figure out a way guy.
Yeah,
and he's going to
figure
strides.
Out a way.
He's
yeah.
taken strides.
And he's gotten better as a passer. And so when guys know how to win, they figure out a way, and then they work on the technical aspects of the game, and they continue to get better and better. As an organization, you can say, this is a guy we can believe in. We can buy into this. Like I think this Dak example is a good example because
they have fall in love with your traits.
Yeah,
they got those all the other stuff.
And for the Texans, you don't want that.
No, you don't.
You don't want that because it messes up a trade partner. But I do think the chances of Tua being good and Jalen being good in the NFL to where a team would not, neither one of the teams would want to trade, I think the chances of that are very low. And you hope the best for any player to play at a high level. But, you know, when I see Tua, I don't see the guy. And so the Texans, I think, will have a trade partner. But I think the Philadelphia Eagles would be the perfect one right now.
John McClain coming up, the general of the Hall of Famer. He is coming up next alongside with Clint Sterner's Football at 4. We'll see how spicy the general is today. That's next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.